Well, let's just pray and just welcome the Holy Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for a new day, God. There is a lot to be thankful for, regardless of our situations and regardless of the things we're going through, God, that you are always in control, first and foremost, God, and we thank you for that. I thank you for the country we live in. I thank you for the freedom we have, and that we get to exercise that freedom whenever we want at the moment, God. And so this morning, we just lift our voices up to you. We welcome you here, God, and we don't have anything but thanks to give you. It could always be worse, and some of us may think it could be better, but God, you have us right where you have us in the time that we're in right now, God. And I know that through it, you want to accomplish more than we can see sometimes. That when we're in the middle of it, we see the waves, and the story is for those to come after us to learn of faith and to learn of strength and to where we put our faith in you, God. And so we just come before you this morning. We welcome you here, God, and help us as we just turn our thoughts and our affections toward you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is.
Sometimes in the middle of it, you wish you could just drown. You're just tired of fighting. And I was reminded of Job this morning, and I was reading in Job. And I love it because there's so many people that come alongside you when you're going through something, and they might have the best of intentions, and they're trying to figure it out for you. They're those fix-it people, you know? And they end up making things worse. And sometimes they even say that they have a word from the Lord and they start saying something toward you, and it's actually not anything what God wanted you to hear in that moment. And so I think that should be a lesson to all of us. Just because someone comes around us and they love us doesn't mean that they're exactly speaking what we need to hear in that moment. Sometimes it's not right. It doesn't change the fact that they're doing it out of love. But I remember God comes along and he sort of puts him in his place and he says, you know what? Were you there when I laid the foundations? I mean, why don't you tell me, what did I do? Where did I put that? You know, where... Did you tell the sea where to stop? And Job just was more humble than he already was, I guess, because he was indignant and he was upset. And you skip along a few chapters to chapter 42, and it says, Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. He says, you said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. And I guess I'm laying the foundation for this next song. To me, it's a song that's been written today, this day and age. And sometimes I just need to remind myself of what God's done. Because in the midst of the storm, I'm so nearsighted that all I see is the waves, but my faith is in something much greater. And although my eyes have turned, this is the moment where, like David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. I need to remind myself of how big my God is and how small everything is in comparison, because the biggest thing I know is the universe that I live in. And I know little of that. And the one that created it and much, much more said, who are you? Did you see that? Did you see what I did? Were you there when I spoke that into being? And so in the middle of the storm, I know we have a lot to be thankful for. And some of us have a rough time this weekend saying, I don't know what to be thankful for because I'm struggling so much. So this next song is to remind ourselves of what God's done. It's a new song. I promise you really haven't heard it, more than likely. But just read the words. I've actually asked my cousin to sing it. So this is my cousin Sonny. He's joined us today. So thank you very much.
Too great for the power of the Lord. Arise, my soul. Unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields, so that he sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety.
Amen.
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sins.
You are peace,
you are peace, you are peace. When my fear is great.
Guys, give us just a minute. Actually, we're going to show a video on I don't know if George isn't set up for it, but we're going to try to do it anyway. Each week in November, we've been focusing on the persecuted church. And a couple weeks ago, we showed you Pavina, who was a Muslim who had got saved, her and her mom in Iran miraculously, right before she was going to kill herself. Last week, we saw Pastor Suda, who just preaching the gospel, getting beaten almost to death, and then going back in and doing it again, going right back in, preaching the gospel. And so some of you might have seen this one, but I'm gonna try to play it. I'm going to try to find it first, then I'm going to play it. So give me just 1 second, and let me punch it up here. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, I can't remember if that's the right one. I think that's it. Ready?
Telling others about Jesus. ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณนะพี่น้องทั่วโลกที่อธิษฐานอ้อนวอนเพื่อโอ้และขอมู่คู่ที่ต้องอยู่สักครู่และขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณพี่น้องทั่วโลก
we feel led right now to pray for persecuted church? If so, I'd like you just to raise your hand, and I'd like you to pray.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Help us to be like Elijah. And realize how great you truly are. How awesome you are. That no matter what our circumstances are that we face, you are greater than those circumstances. There are people that are persecuted all over this world, and we take for granted the freedom that you have given us. And it is a gift from you. It is not anything that we have done that has earned it. Father, I can't understand how these people have drawn so much strength from you. But I pray that we would learn from them how they have tapped in unlimited power that you have in creating everything. This may not make sense to me or to anyone else here, but Lord, for us, just a little bit more persecution, just a little bit more trouble, just a little bit more that will cause us to lean into you and run to you instead of counting on ourselves. We need to live the dependent, completely dependent life on you like Jesus did. He depended on himself for nothing and he depended on you for everything. I pray that you deliver us from the materialism that each one of us has in our hearts. And our own self-dependence. And our own self. May we just completely and totally yield everything to you. Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, let's hit the lights. And a couple quick things just for we get started in the Word. It back here. Couple quick things so I don't forget. First, somebody told me this is the Barnabas, it was Prison Ministry. Apparently, it was spelled wrong. This is the prison ministry that, if you're interested in that, these folks are brothers who have given their life to come to Christ in prison, and they're either going to be there for a very long time or for the rest of their lives. And so George has printed out some folks that he knows personally in there. Don't have anyone. And if you would like to contact them for Christmas or make it a project for your family or whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. If you want that, he's got pictures, a little profile of a person. If you'd just like to write them a letter of encouragement or something like that, you're welcome to do so. We've got at least about half a dozen and one out from here, and that's really awesome. And so just encourage your brothers in Christ. Also, War Room. You guys, most of you are familiar with that movie. It's now at the Dollar Theater. So if there's anything stopping you before, or if you just want to see it again at the Dollar Theater, University Parkway, I think. Also, we'll bring pictures, Tom Glorier out this week, but we'll bring pictures. The Thanksgiving dinner here was so beautiful. I mean, it was actually amazing. And some people said just some incredibly encouraging things that they wouldn't have had anywhere else to go. And so and so forth. And so thank you for everybody who contributed to that and worked so hard making food and setting up all the tables and chairs. It was just amazing what people did. Thank you for just being a part of that and giving folks a place to go that didn't have any place. Also, we have the sermon audios. I think George is I think he's got the last like 8 or 10 on audio on a CD. If anybody wants those, he's bringing in like giveaway. 4 people wanted them last week, and I think he has a little 3 or 4 more today. If you would like those, just to be encouraged in the word through Titus and Nehemiah.
I have one left.
One left now? Okay. Well, now there's only one. So if you want one, you can grab that from George, and he'll give that for you today. Or if you want him to make more, he can do that for you. Also, if you would like to join us here for prayer at around 9:30, we're praying for the body, for the community. The first Monday of each month, 7 p.m., the Chronic Support Group. Carrie is in charge of that. If you'd like to talk to her for more information, there's also some brochures back by the tithe box, the offering box back in the back. Also, the men's Bible study. Hey, we're just finished up, James, and I'm sorry I pointed to you, Sonny, because Gary always sits there. So sorry. Gary. It's the men's Bible study. Okay, so.
King David. The highs and the lows.
Awesome. Okay, character study on King David. That should be really fun. Thanks for doing that. Okay, and so that's this Tuesday. Is that correct? Okay, 6 p.m. for dinner. If you get here at 5:30, we play some frisbee, throw on the football if you're interested in that. And 6 p.m. is dinner, and 6:30 is Bible study. We don't get out of here until about 8:30, so it's a long Bible study, but it's a good Bible study. Okay, women, you don't have to wait. There is youth group this week. That was for my last week. We're done with that. This Friday, prayer and praise. Am I right? Okay, prayer and praise this Friday. If you'd like an intimate time of prayer, Friday, 7 o'clock here, roughly 7 to 9 o'clock. Okay. All right, there's a couple things I want to talk about. One of the reasons why I wanted to show that video. One thing we do every November and December is we focus in on missions. And so this last couple of years has been Gospel for Asia. Hundreds of animals and Bibles have gone out of here. Just amazing stuff from this tiny little church. Anyway, what we're doing this year is we've ordered some action packs. I saw the news headline on a Christian news website. The Syrian church is saying, hey, we've got all these Christian refugees, and honestly, the church in the West has forgotten us. Nobody cares. And it was one of the bishops. He's like, nobody's helping. And I'm sure that's not the case, but sometimes when there's an overwhelming, you know, problems, you kind of can feel that way. And so we're doing two things. We're partnering with Voice of the Martyrs. So we've ordered action packs because of the Thanksgiving holiday. They won't be here. They're not here now. But what you can do, they're $7 each. God willing, they'll be here Monday or Tuesday. I'll bring them in next Sunday. But you'll be able to fill those up with blankets and jackets and things like that. Basically, it's $7, and that just covers the cost to get them over there. Some of them will be going to Christian Syrian refugees. Some will be going to Muslim refugees who are also fleeing from ISIS. And with those will be given, included, a Bible in there. And so Voice of Martyrs has been doing this a long time. And so when you make these action packs, if you're interested in it, you know, bring some money or checkbook next week, and you can take some of those home with you. They'll put in the Bible. Don't put any clothes that say, I love America, you know, God bless, you know, the American flag or something, anything that would make them a target. Just kind of plain t-shirts or something like that over there. Also, Bibles for captive nations. We're sending out Bibles to North Korea and to China. Do you have something you want to say before?
I had a question on the last screen, clarification.
That one?
$7 each or $30 each?
What? Oh, yes, thank you. Okay, yes, basically it's $7 and I'll give you an empty, we don't make anything off of it, it's just, we give you an empty bag, you fill it up yourselves. If you would like to just write a check, hey, I want 3 of those action packs where they fill them with stuff that they need specifically for the people, you can do that. Those are $30 each and they fill them up maybe with a ball or, you know, just different things like that.
Who fills them up?
I'm sorry?
Who fills them up?
Voice of the Martyrs. So for $7, you would fill it up, and then we'll bring them back here. We'll ship them all out together, invoice the buyers, and then invoice the markers. We'll take them over there. Or $30, you just write a check, and you just write the Home Fellowship check, Home Fellowship Church. And in the memo section, you just write for the action packs. And so $30 each, and they'll fill it up. And we'll do that all at once.
Darren, yes, is there a list with that that tells you?
Yes, there will be a list with that. They'll have a nice piece of paper outlining all the information. It's just, again, I talked to them. They said, sorry, because of Thanksgiving, you're supposed to be here. It just isn't. So, okay. Also, for Bibles for captive nations, North Korea and China, we're also sending Bibles. Some of the kids had agreed to, they're going to make stars on our tree. A gold star for every time a Bible, they're going to cut them out and make a little ribbon, and a gold star for every time a Bible goes out of here in November and December, and then a silver star, whatever, is for an action pack. And so whenever you put your checks to Home Fellowship Church in there, just put it in the memo section. If you like Bibles, they're $5 each, and they're going to be going to places like North Korea, and they're going to the underground church there and in China. And so I just want to encourage you, when you see how incredible just the Word of God is and how much they desire it, I mean, I just want to encourage you. I'd love to see tons of Bibles go from this place. I'd love to see it. And so all you have to do is just write a check again, Home Fellowship Church, in the memo section, I want. You know, if you wrote a $100 check, you know, 20 Bibles to North Korea from, you know, George, who's rebuilding his life, is such a cool, I'm just going to, I probably shouldn't do this. Lord, should I? Anyway, too late now, Barty. You know, he makes some of these CDs that people want every week, and basically does it for free. Well, last week, people gave him some money to help, and they gave him like a couple people gave him like a few dollars, anyway, equal to $10. And so, since he does all that stuff for free, just as a gift in Jesus' name to the body, he just came and he just said, you know what? I want these $10. I'm like, great, George, you can get some more. He's like, no, I want them to go for Bibles for China or for North Korea. I don't remember. And we put a little note to put it in there. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is an opportunity to send people the Word of God. We're hungry, desperate for it. Think of how many of us have it sitting on our shelves. We're not even reading it. How exciting is that? Take the opportunity. And then each week, God willing, you'll see more and more stars on the tree. And just know, I'd love to see that thing so packed with stars in this teeny tiny little church. And teens, you too. I would love to see you. Ask if you can do a job. Ask if you can work around the house. Do extra stuff. Not your normal chores. Extra stuff. To get Bibles to go to these people who desire it.
Mary. I have a question. Are the Bibles in their language?
Yes.
Yes. Another clarification. Checks made out to Bibles Unbound or to Home Fellowship?
Actually, we're going to make them all out to Home Fellowship so we can place one big order for Bibles, for, yeah,
memo.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff. Who else? Somebody raise their hands? Anybody else? Okay.
The cash is okay, right?
Cash is okay, yeah. That's when you just put cash, put a little paperclip for Bibles to North Korea and all that kind of thing. What a cool thing. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus. Yes, yes. Oh! Sorry, one more thing. Wendy Jo, go ahead. Take the.
Superger is going to be hosting the Christmas party on Saturday, December 12th.
Okay, that's like in 2 weeks.
Yes, in 2 weeks. So she wanted to make sure it got announced to everybody today. A flyer for it. Saturday, December 12th. And she's going to have people bring appetizers or dessert to share. Yep, and wanted to do the little white elephant gift exchange again. Let's bring a gift. Under $5. Anyhow, I've got flyers. Oh, she's going to do a bonfire. So if you want to bring your guitar or whatever to sing around the campfire, she's inviting everybody to do that too.
That'd be awesome. That'd be cool. We can work the songs around the campfire when it's cold. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Joe and Elijah, if you could grab some Bibles, please. Oh, you guys. Oh, look at that. Chris is already on it. Awesome. Anybody else needs a Bible, grab one. We're in Titus. We're finishing up. I realized as we were going through the book of Titus that I just love that last. Sorry. I just love that illustration. Anyway. Yeah, you missed it. Okay, let me bear with me for just a second.
That's all right. Get to the. Okay. Actually, I don't even know if I have these slides today. But I felt like the Lord was wanted us to go somewhere. So Titus chapter 3, let's go there. And let's see what he's got for us. I'm going to do my absolute super duper best to not say anything, which you know is difficult for me. So let's just read. We covered this already, but let's just read. If somebody, Neely, are you here today? Yeah, would you mind reading just Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8? And I think that's where we left off. Okay, so you just read that for us, and I'm going to try not to say anything the whole time. Just be a record. Just watch.
We'll pray for you,
yeah.
Can I bring
duct tape
next week?
I
know. All right, go ahead.
You warned me I'd brought some duct tape.
Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
Oh, yeah!
And he made it!
You're sweating.
I was.
I thought your lungs were going to explode.
Yes. Well, you know what it says, you know, reminding, you know, we talked about reminders and why we go through the Bible. Because, you know, I actually believe God has put, by the power of his Holy Spirit, you know, the Word of God in here in proportion to how he wants it taught. In other words, as we go through Scripture, as we go through it book by book or verse by verse, you can't just go on a hobby horse. You can't just go on topics that you like. You have to address all the subjects. And even the reminders, you know, I can't talk about whatever I want to talk about every time. I think even the portions are in here as the Lord, by his sovereign grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has organized it. So as things come up again, he reminds us again. And I think of even, again, 1 Peter 1:12, that says, you know, so I will remind you of these things, he would say, Peter would say, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, because our retention rate is so terrible. Basically, I'm just wasting my life. No, but basically, you know, when you think about how much we forget continually, it, you know, it's like 5-7%. And so is all we retain. So that's why God wants us to remind us over and over. So sometimes if we cover things again, and it's because they're in the Scriptures, it's because God wants us to remember and bring that back to mind. We talked about being a subject to rulers and authorities. So first, I guess here's my question for you. Okay, one, do we need to do that? Yes, I'm not going to reteach it. I'm just asking you. Do we need to be subject to those rulers and authorities?
Yes.
Okay, what verse would you give us other than what you just read here? What would you give to us that says that I need to do that? Why do I need to subject myself to the government? Why do I need to the civil authorities? Why do I need to do that?
Romans 13.
Absolutely. That's what we went and talked about last week. That is absolutely right. And that means even like the speed preferences or speed limits for us with heavy legging. What about taxes? Do we need to pay taxes? A lot of Christians say we don't need to pay taxes. Right? Do we need to pay taxes?
Unless you want to go to jail.
Okay, what does the scripture say? Right? What else? Give me another one.
Romans 13.
Romans 13 what? 6 and 7 absolutely says, flat out, says, give to everyone what is owed from them. If it's respect, give them respect. If it's taxes, give them taxes. Whatever. And this is at a time where, okay, I'm not in... Oh, I shouldn't even say that. Anyway, you may have your own personal feelings about this current administration. I do. But I'm telling you, as much as anti-Christian and pro-Muslim as I think it is, you know, he's not, you know, lighting Christians on fire and putting them on a stake and going naked with the chariot through the gardens like Nero would in Paul's day. Okay? So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, you're going to be subject. Now, are there times when we're going to have to not submit to the government?
Yes.
Okay? What would you say to that? What would you tell me? What scripture would you bring up? Don't give me your opinion. What would you bring up? That's right. That's exactly right. You see it in Daniel 3, Daniel 6. You see it in Acts 5. Remember when we talked about it last week? You were here. That wasn't a slam. But in Acts chapter 5, you know, they were telling them they had to stop speaking about Jesus. And they said, hey, judge for yourself. We have to do what God's told us to do. So if the government ever says something that, hey, I can't preach Jesus anymore, or I have to do this, that's totally against my convictions, what the Word clearly says, then I have to serve God rather than man. Right?
Yep.
All right. And then we ended with, it says, be careful to devote yourself to doing what is good. And we see that over and over and over. And why do we devote ourselves to being good? Because why? Because what?
For excellent, profitable for everyone.
Yes, but why else? Give me some scripture. What does it say? Why? Why should I? Why should I be? Is it that important? I asked you last week. Is being good that important? Okay, you say, yeah. What is it? Galatians 5, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness is going to come from a saved, redeemed soul. We're not saved by our good works, but those good works are going to flow from us if we've had a true experience with the grace of our living God. The actions will change. And then we also saw that is how we do good works important. Yes, why?
Colossians.
Why? What scripture can you bring to mind? Or can you?
Yeah.
What? How we do things. Do you remember? I don't find.
We do it because of the glory of God.
We do. That's whatever we do. But you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? Said, you know, in these dark times, you're a light. And you remember? The darkness said, you're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It says, do your good works in such a way that people will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Not say, oh, Amy, what a wonderful person you are. Oh, Anthony, oh, you're so good with the teens. Oh, thank you so much for being... No, you do your works. You do your good deeds. You do those things from the overflow of the heart. So it gives your King, the Sovereign God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory. So you redirect them so they don't say wonderful things about you. It's not all about you. It's all about the Lord. That's why we do these things. That's why we're here. Right? And also, we do it because that was Jesus' example. You guys remember that? You know, Jesus it says that he went around in Acts chapter 10:38, he went around doing good.
And so...
So he went around doing good. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, as these times get darker and harder, you know, we talked about being weary. Galatians chapter 6, and you know, we talked about that. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if what? If you don't give up. And listen, you know, just like Philippians says, you know, here, turn off those lights. Will you turn off those lights for me? Yes. And if you remember that, will you turn off those back ones? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Mark, go ahead. See if this will jog your memory too. Okay? The darker it gets, the more the light of the Lord can shine. And you, Philippians says, are in this perverse world, Philippians 2 says, you're to shine like stars in the heaven. And so the darker it gets, And it's going to get darker. You can either grow weary, you can crawl in your little hole, you can take your ball and go home and say, I'm not going to do anymore. I've been there. I understand. Ungrateful people, ungrateful this. Why bother? Or you can shine and lead others to Christ. That's your good deeds. You can shine all the more brightly for Him and give your glory to the Father in heaven. That's what He wants. And that's what we need to be. You can't do that on your own, Amberly. You need to ask for the Holy Spirit to give you an unction of His Spirit to empower you to do that, to shine. You need to plug in to the Holy Spirit to get recharged. Right? That's right. I'm going to let it shine. So little kids, but it's so true. So here's a question for you. Are you shining? You know, think about it. When you go to school, are you thinking, God, can I let those good deeds shine? When you do the good deeds in such a way that honors the Lord, when they know when you're a Christian, this is why you're doing it. When you glorify God and you do it in that way, when you get up in the morning, do you think, how can I show my kids the love of the Lord? Good deeds. How can I bless my husband with good deeds of the Lord? How can I bless my wife? How can I show the people at work Christ living in through me? You are making, when you choose to obey His word, when you choose to do those good deeds in His name, you are making God's invisible kingdom, the rule and reign in your heart, visible to the world. Amen. You're letting them see God in a way that they understand. See, I can talk about how I know God and how I hear His voice, and people don't know what that means. But yet I know, okay, you're doing these good deeds. Why do you do that? Why are you taking time for me? Why are you giving me? I don't get it. I'm not that nice to you. Am I a jerk to my coworker? Or am I kind? Am I patient? Well, they attacked me. Maybe because they had a bad day. Am I responding patiently? Am I building them up? Nobody else is building them up at work. You know what I'm saying? You have a purpose. Your purpose is to do good deeds. You are saved by grace, right? Only by faith? Yeah. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says. But you're saved to do good works. If you're not doing good works to make your light shine, what are you doing? What am I here for? Okay. All right. You turn back off the on those lights if you would. Thank you. All right. Back to you know where I stopped, it was just a few things, but I think there's something that God wants to go over. So let's go over the last few verses. Some of it's just final remarks, and we'll go through this quickly. But I want to talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. Verse 9. Can someone read? Yeah, Titus chapter 3. Let's start with verse 9, since that's where we left off. Somebody read 9 and 10 for me. Yeah, thank you.
But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, you have nothing to do with him.
Okay. So here's what Titus is telling. Listen, he's like, that word, it says, but avoid foolish controversies. That word avoid in the Greek is parestamai. And that means, literally, to turn away from something or someone and to avoid them. It means to turn about away from them and go away. I like that God says that. There are some people that I'm just going to avoid. They're purposely out to fight. They're purposely out to slander. They're purposely out to, I don't have time for that. I just want to follow the Lord. Get something better to do. Avoid them. The Bible says you can do that. It says to avoid them. And then it says avoid foolish controversies. The word for foolish there is the Greek word moros. It's where we get our word moron. It's kind of like, well, if God's so awesome, you know, some people just like to fight. I don't know. Maybe just, I just don't like it anymore. I'm old. I don't know. Whatever.
I just want to fight for the Lord. I don't want to fight each other. I'm done with that. And it says, avoid these foolish conversations. And you know, you get the people. Well, if God's so awesome, he's so powerful, if he's all powerful, can he make a rock so big that only that even he can't move it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. But those, or you remember the Pharisees were trying to do that same thing in Matthew 22? Just turn there really quickly. Verse 23. Actually, you can start in verse 24. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were trying to, they just want to fight. They just want to debate. Oh, man. I can't stand that. Listen. And they were doing it to Jesus. In verse 24 of Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, verse 24. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. In other words, to take care of the widow in that day, she didn't have a source of income, and to carry on the line, carry on the family name. Verse 25 says, now there are seven brothers among us. The first married and died. And since he had no children, he left the wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third, right down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Of the seven, since all of them marry her. And Jesus said something really awesome. And this is what I found, that most people who just want to fight and quarrel and just do this stuff, Jesus just replied, and I love this. He says two things. You're in error because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. A lot of folks that fight, they fight because they don't really know, they know a theology, someone's taught them. You know, somebody told me, I was a little blown away at this, as I was doing a teaching about, purity teaching about being unequally yoked. And someone came up to me afterwards, not here in our church, but somewhere else, and came after me and goes, I've always been taught that unequally yoked, because we were talking about purity, how we're supposed to be, not yoked with an unbeliever, basically is what the scripture says in that passage. I've been taught my whole life that that meant that certain races were to be staying together. White, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. I said, what? He said, yeah, I've been taught that my whole life. I said, are you kidding? I thought he was kind of joking, because like, yeah, she can't sit me, but no, this is what I've been taught. He named the denomination. Then somebody from our church said, yeah, you know what, to be honest, that's what I was taught my whole life too. I said, you're kidding me. I said, no. I said, look, read it for yourself. He says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He goes, oh my goodness, I've been a racist. I'm not a racist. I didn't even know it. I've been taught that. I didn't even read that scripture verse for myself. That's just what I was taught. A lot of times we err because we don't know the scriptures or the power of God. And my other friend who goes to this church used to say, I hear David, he goes, yeah, man, until I really started studying the word for myself and reading and studying, and that's what I thought too. That's just what I was taught. I thought, so avoid those folks who just want to fight for fighting's sake. It says avoid foolish controversies about genealogies. Some people spend millions of dollars, when it talks about genealogies, the Jews would think they were better if they came from a better line, if you came from the line of Benjamin, maybe. If you can prove you did that, well, then you get a better seat, please, up here. If you were going from the tribe Issachar, you were like a low man on the totem pole. And people will spend millions of dollars a day about their genealogies. In fact, today, Mark brought this up, but today, we can maybe not do it directly, but can we do it indirectly? Mm-hmm. Well, my dad was a pastor, my dad's dad. Well, my cousins, just worship. So I'm pretty spiritual myself. Went to church all my life. Went to this kind of church. Went to this denomination. Went to this non-denomination denomination. I mean, just, you'd laugh, but isn't that true? Can't we do that? I think we're all a little bit better. Paul said, hey, if you think anyone's righteous, how about me? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Religious zeal, I'm like a Pharisee. But he said, I count all that as poop, is what he said. Literally, dung, rubbish, garbage, for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It means nothing. Your mom's saved, your sister's saved, your friends. Who cares what is your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ? Who cares what your friend or your mom or your dad, do you follow Christ? That's the question. Doesn't matter, you know, how important, maybe your friend's a deacon, your dad's a deacon, your mom's a this, or whatever. It says, avoid those foolish controversies, genealogies, arguments, quarrels about the law. Listen, H.A. Ironside said this cool thing. People would just like to quarrel. That word in Greek, where it says a quarrel, is M-A-C-H-E. I'm trying to remember how it's pronounced. I think it's, forgive me, this isn't right, but it's like Make or something like that in the Greek. Basically, and it means to battle, to fight with one another. Most of our Christian life, we're spending more time battling our husband or wife or friend or co-worker than we are battling the Lord. It means to combat. Why aren't you combating the Lord, the enemy, instead of fighting each other? Durr. In 2 Timothy, just this page back, I'm just going to read this. 2 Timothy 2, 23, 26. That same word, I think, is used. I'm trying to remember. Give me just a second. Yes. It says in 2 Timothy 2, 23 and 24, says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant, listen to this, must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose them, gentle and strong. We're to be gentle, kind people. And that might not be you in the flesh. It's not me in the flesh, but that's who I am in the spirit. And that's who I want to represent. Jesus said, I, speaking of himself, am gentle and humble at heart. That's who he is. That's who I want to be. A.J. Ironside said this. He would say to people, he was a preacher, used to be on fire for the Lord back in the old days. And this is what he would say to people who disagreed on matters that were not essential to salvation. And sometimes we get so many things that divide us, so dumb. He said, He said, well, dear brother, when we get to heaven, one of us is going to be wrong. And perhaps, now you're thinking it'll be you, that's not what he said. He said, and one of us is going to be wrong, and perhaps it will be me. That peaceable spirit, that gentle spirit, stopped a lot of the arguments right there. Some folks are, they have to be right! You know what I mean? They'll bludgeon everybody to do it. But they're dead right. And listen to what he says after that. It says, actually, verse 9 says it's useless. What does useless mean?
There's no use for it.
That's pretty.
Zero value.
You don't agree. It means worthless. Don't waste your time. Verse 10 says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, I have nothing more to do with him. Now, some people say, if you disagree with me as a pastor, you're being divisive. That's not true.
No.
That is just silly. I mean, there are things that, you know, that some of us will disagree on. But there's a difference between disagreeing and being divisive. Mm-hmm. That word divisive is where we get this hereticos, is where we get a word heretic from. It means self-willed. It means one who makes a choice. It means like, I'm going this way, and you need to follow me and not her. are not him.
Especially not.
Yeah. But it's you make a choice. I'm taking people. That is not the way to be. If you don't follow, you're wrong. If you follow him, you follow her, bad. Listen, I follow Christ. Don't I even say, hopefully nobody follows me. I never invited anybody. You want to be here, God brings you here, fantastic. It's the Lord that brought you here. Don't follow me, follow Christ. And it says to warn them, and that's nouthesia, I think, in Greek. And that means, like, discipline. It means to instruct. It says warn them. And how would that be applicable? If someone came into our church and said, hey, you need to have this particular Bible version, or you need to be a hyper 11-point Calvinist, or you need to believe this exact... If you don't believe this exact way of the end time, the pre-pig, most rapid, then, you know, you're evil and I'm going this way. You need to follow me because I have this secret knowledge. Listen, don't do that. You know, think about the commonalities. Look, we might differ exactly how. You might think the Lord's coming in 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. You might think he's coming in 2 years. Praise the Lord. But can we all agree? How about we be ready now?
Yeah.
Come, Lord Jesus. I want to take me now. He's coming. Can we agree he's coming? Okay, let's focus on that. And let's focus. Does he want us to be ready?
Yes.
Absolutely. When does he want us to be ready?
Now.
Now. All I'm saying is sometimes we can make some of these things, I'm not even saying things aren't important, but there's so many things, if you've been a Christian for a long time, to divide, it will blow your mind. And so some of them can be so silly, and some of them, it's a matter of salvation. If somebody says, hey, you're saved by works, I would say, 18 double hockey sticks, no. That's not how it is. You're saved by grace through faith. Some of these other things, man. It says warn them. So if somebody came into our church and said, hey, you have to follow me, you have to do this, and he took a bunch of people with, we're going to be the NIV-only group.
We're going to do this.
Follow me. And then later repented, we take them back in. Mm-hmm. We warn them a second, you know. If you get it again, we warn them a second time. Get it a left, maybe the other church didn't want her. I don't know, didn't want her. Comes back, oh, I'm sorry, I screwed up. Okay, after the third time, no, that's okay, thank you, bye-bye. Because it's damaging other people in the body. And he goes on to say, it says, you may be sure that such a man is warped, sinful, and self-condemned. Then he says in the final remarks, as soon as I send Artemis, not from the Wild Wild West, not Artemis Gold. As soon as I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, and we see Tychicus, you see him in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. I don't see Artemis anywhere. Do your best to come to me in Nicopolis because I decided to winter there. Do everything you can do to help Zenas the lawyer. So there it goes. Lawyers can be saved. Now, I don't know if this was a Roman lawyer. Or sometimes the Jews would have like a scribe, one that knew a lot about the law of the Lord. It doesn't say, but I'm guessing because it's Zenas, probably a Roman lawyer. You see him. I don't see him in Scripture anywhere else. But Apollos, you see him in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. You see him in the book of Acts chapter 18. Do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing good in order that they provide themselves, provide the daily necessities, and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith, not the heretics. Anyway, greet those who love us in the faith, and grace be with you all. That verse 14 is where I just wanted to camp out for a few minutes, and so just bear with me because the Lord kind of put something on my heart. You know, we read throughout Titus chapter 2, verse 6, or excuse me, verse 7, in everything, set an example by doing what is good. In Titus 2, verse 14, it says, you know, he redeemed his people from all wickedness and to purify himself of people that are eager to do good. In chapter 3, verse verse 1, it says, be ready to do whatever is good. And in verse 8, it said, be careful to devote yourself to doing what is good. And then lastly here, verse 14, it says, learn. I like that. Learn to devote yourselves. That means you don't always get it. You know, in Philippians, sometimes you think you're a Christian, you got it all. You don't. It takes time. You have to learn to do good works, to learn how to give glory to your Father. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12? You remember that? Paul said, I've learned over time. I've learned to be content in all situations. I've learned what it's like to have plenty, and I've learned what it's like to have nothing. But I've learned to be content in all these circumstances. So learn how to do your good works in such a way that it gives glory to your Father in heaven. Don't get discouraged. Learn. You see something good in me, learn from it. You see something good in Gary, learn from it. You see something good in Carl, Susie, you see what I'm saying?
Learn.
We can learn from each other. It's why he has us in a body. There's one thing, though, that kind of scares me, though. You know, we talked about grace, that we're saved by grace, not by good works, but we do have to remember that good works are essential. And so, if you don't have those good deeds that are glorifying your Father in heaven, I would really think about examining myself to see whether or not I'm in the faith. Because I could do good works for a lot of reasons. I could do good works to feel good about myself. I could do good works, you know, because I don't want to come back as a llama. Some people think they're, you know, the generation. Or a cucaracha. You know? So there's a lot of reasons why you would do good works. But I even wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. I'm deeply concerned, like, within the church and even at home fellowship that, and our youth or whatever, that many people within the church walls do not really know the Lord. They just know about Him. I mean, they come to Bible studies, they learn the lingo, they go to the events. You know, this stuff happens, right? But they don't really know the Lord. They want a Savior that saves them from hell, not the Lord of their lives. And I mentioned this last week, you know, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He needs to be Lord of our lives. There's too much pretending that goes on. And we received a family newsletter. Have you ever get those around, like, you know, holidays? You ever get those little newsletters? It's like they always tell you how incredible their lives are and how everything's kind of perfect in their lives. Do you ever get those?
Yeah.
We get a lot of them. And you know what? I got this letter, and I love these folks. But I got this letter, and basically it was just saying, if you read it, you would think everything is amazing in their lives. I mean, I read it, I'm like, wow. But then I remembered, wait a minute. I also know things that nobody else knows. And I was counseling them. Their marriage was falling. This does not follow. And I think to myself, you're putting on this image. No, I don't. I'm not. You should wear everything on your sleeve. How's life? Yeah, I love my wife. You know, but my wife is such a pain. Or whatever. I'm simply saying, I think we need to be more real and more honest.
Amen.
Amen.
And stop this kind of pretending thing. And people notice that. When I think about that in church, you might be coming here, and good for you. Glad. But, you know, are you really hooked up? Are you really plugged in? You know, I was thinking of there's a story about a consultant. And it might be like this. A consultant just opened his brand new business. He had just gotten his new office set up. He got it all organized. And he sat inside behind his desk waiting for the first client. And a man walked up to the door of his new, quote-unquote, corporate headquarters. And he walked into the office. And he wanted to look important. So as this guy was walking up to his corporate headquarters, the consultant began his act. He wanted to look important. He wanted to look busy. So the consultant immediately reached for the telephone. He picked it up, and he had a lengthy conversation with the president. In fact, most of the conversation involved him telling the president how he should do things. as a consultant recommending to the president how we should do things, things should be done, and supposedly answering the president and giving kind of wise and astute answers. And after the man stood in front of the consultant's desk for a long time, listening to the man, waiting for him, talking to the president, finally the man hung up the phone and said, "Pardon me, sir, I'm so sorry to make you wait. It's just that was the president, and you know, he needed my consultation." And so he said, "I'm so sorry, though. Now, what can I do for you?" And the man in front of the desk said, "Oh, nothing. I'm actually just here to hook up your phone." And it's a funny illustration, but I'm afraid there are some people who have us believe they really know God and they're having conversations with God, but the phone's not hooked up yet. And so I want us to go to Matthew chapter 25. At the end of this Titus, 3:14, it said our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order not to produce unproductive lives. You know that last verses in Titus, you know what those, in order to do good, in order not to produce unproductive lives? That word in Greek for unproductive lives is archeropos, and it means barren lives, unfruitful. We need to do these good works so we don't live unfruitful, barren lives. And that's how people are going to know us, by the fruit that we produce. And so when I go to Matthew 25, man, I was going to go through every single parable. Let's just start. There's two parables and then a statement here. There's a parable you'll notice in Matthew 25 of the 10 versions. And when we read it, this is going to emphasize the need for us. It's going to speak to Christians and non-Christians. It's going to emphasize us, we need to be ready now to be prepared before the Lord comes. The parable of the talent is emphasizing our service for the Lord. I don't want to even say it's a parable because it's not. The sheep and the goats, it's going to emphasize the need for good works in a Christian's life. Let's just go through. We'll just see how far we get, and we'll go from there. Because I don't want folks, I want you, if you're here and you haven't made that commitment to the Lord, you're not connected. There's going to be a time when the door is shut and you won't be there. And it doesn't matter if your mom is there, your dad is there, your friends are there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if this whole church could be weeping for you. It'll be too late. Think about when Noah, when the flood came, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. You remember? Mm-hmm. Those who would be saved got on the ark. They were mocking him. When the rains came, remember? Floods came down. The song. Rains came down, the floods came up. But the door was shut, and the door was sealed. I'm sure they got to higher ground. I'm sure that at some point, they said to themselves, "Oh, poop. This crazy Noah was right the whole time. What do I do now?" He was right. But the door is already shut. It's already sealed. It cannot be opened now. And so, let's just read through this. Okay. There's no way I'm going to get through all three either. Okay. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like..." So this is a picture of it. "The kingdom will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Who's the bridegroom?
Jesus.
That's right. He's coming back. Who's the bride? Who are the virgins?
We are.
That basically, it's those who are professing Christians. Right. And I say professing Christians. There's a reason for that. You'll find out here in a minute. And it says there were 10 virgins who took their lamps. Now, when we think of a lamp, don't think like what we talked about last week. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. Not that kind of lamp, like a metal with the wick. Back, it was more like a torch. Okay, like a long stick. It was a wooden stick, and it had like a some sort of mesh material. And then in that, you would put a cloth, and then you would have a flask of oil. And when you light it, you douse it, you know, with oil. And then you would light it, and you'd have a flask. So you'd have plenty of oil, so you'd have, it could be lit as long as it needs. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so picture that. It's more like a torch. It's the same word used in John 18:3 when they came after Jesus with their torches. Okay. All right, so there were 10 virgins. This is what the kingdom of heaven was. There's 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And that word meet is like almost like an official, like a royal term. Like, wow, like we're going to, like you're meeting a dignitary. It says five of them were foolish. And again, that's that same Greek word, moros. It means foolish with a lack of reverence for God. And five were wise. And that word for wise is phronos. And that means they were mindful, they were prudent. And it says, if you remember the story of the house is built on the sand and the house is built on the rock, do you remember? The house, one builds his house, he said, Jesus, whoever hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, the rains come down, the floods come up, and he's washed away. But there's another man who built his house upon the rock. He was a wise man. Those of us, the one who listened to what he had to say and obeyed it. And the rains came down, the floods came up, and it stood. That's the same words. Moros, foolish, phronos, wise. Okay? It says in verse 3, the foolish one took their lamps and their torches, but did not take any oil with them. Now, the wise took oil in their jars, along with their lamps. So, here you have, well, they're all dressed the same. You can't tell them. Wheat, tares, they look the same. I look at you, I look at you, you look the same. But one had oil and was mindful, thoughtful, realized we need to take this oil. We have to have this oil for the lamps, for the torches to go in. And the other one was like, I don't even need the oil. I just looked the part. What is that oil representing? To those of you who read the Old Testament, what does that oil represent? The Holy Spirit of God. Yes. So five of them have the Holy Spirit of God. They realize that's grace by faith. That's the Holy Spirit coming in and regenerating a life. That's the need for that, for salvation. They had that Holy Spirit. And it says, the wise, however, took oil in their jars along with the lamps. Verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Okay, so it took a lot longer. And how many of them fell asleep? Well, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize texts sometimes, but, you know, maybe it's just they slept because that's what you do at night. I don't know. But it's possible that, you know, the foolish ones were just lazy, and so they didn't really care about having oil in their lamps. They didn't care about that. It wasn't important to them. And so, and the other ones, maybe they did have oil. Maybe they were prepared and they were just fine, so they slept. Maybe, though, they had fallen asleep too when they should have been awake. And maybe there are some here as Christians that have fallen asleep. And God needs to stir your heart and say, wake up! I got work for you to do! I got places for you to go every day. What does that mean? At your dead-end job? Absolutely. With your knucklehead? Well, I'm going to stop there. Yes! Every day. Okay, let me they all fell asleep. And it says at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come to him. Now, what they used to do in those days, don't teach it, Lord, don't. Come on. Why at midnight? Why do you think the bridegroom's coming at midnight?
Most unexpected time.
Yes. The Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, the Bible says. Like, I remember this preacher. Bible says, Lord, come like a thief in the night. Stuck in my head. That etched in my heart. I remember that. In front of me all the time. So we need to be ready. You know, it's interesting. If you read Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. when the Lord was delivering his people, where they put the blood of the lamb on the lentils and doorposts. I think I remember, you can go there and check me out, I could be wrong, but that's what happened. At midnight, that's when the angel of death came.
Yes.
And only those who were saved that had the blood of the lamb on their door of their heart, so to speak, were saved. That says a lot to me. That says to me, I need the blood of the lamb on my heart. It's going to be a time when we don't expect. It says, at midnight, the cry rang, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. They got them all ready, so they're putting in the cloth, they're putting oil all over it. And, it was almost like a bridesmaid. To have those torches signified, you're almost like a bridesmaid. You know what I mean? Like, you know how bridesmaids, they all wear the pink chiffon, weird-looking, they always have a weird dress, they all have to match. And so it's almost like something like that. You know, it identified them, that they're supposed to be part of this wedding party. And it says, the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps, and foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Now, the point of this isn't that the other folks would not give them their oil. If it represents the Holy Spirit, listen, I love you to death. I can't give you salvation. I can't give you my Holy Spirit to save you.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
It is between you and Jesus. Honestly, if I could, I probably would. There are some of you here that aren't saved. And I don't say that to be mean. Some of you I've told. But I can't. It's you and Jesus alone. Isaiah 55 says, come to you, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. He's our living water. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. That gift of salvation is absolutely free. All you have to do is bend your knee and receive him. Say, I don't want this world anymore. I don't want its ways. I want you, Jesus. I am not good enough. I'm repenting. I'm turning away from my sin and to you living.
Amen.
Anyways. It says in verse 10. It says, but while... Wait a minute. Is the scripture coming to mind real quick? Sorry. Oh, I can't think of it, but I know it's... I just said it earlier. Anyway, Ephesians 2:8 says it's what? It's a gift from God, right?
Yeah.
What does it say? I can't think of it. I just said it earlier.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
It's a gift of God. You can't buy it. You can't do enough good works. You can't. You need to be given that gift and you need to receive it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You have to ask for it. Ask and you will receive, sister. Knock and the door will be open. He is there waiting at the door. Open it. Cost nothing. Well, on the one hand, it will cost you your life. You will have to give up of yourself, but you will gain so much more than you will lose.
Darren?
Yes.
In John 6:44, we think it's us turning, but it's him drawing and us responding to his draw.
Mm-hmm.
He is constantly doing that. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him.
Amen.
It ain't about us. It ain't about our works. It ain't about our repentance. It's about us responding to him drawing.
Yes. Where that sovereignty of God and free will of man intersect, I don't know, but I do see both in Scripture. So I know God's calling, and I know there's a responsibility on your part to respond. It's God's will that none should perish, but all should come.
Amen.
So it goes on to say in verse 10, but while they were on their way to buy some oil, the bridegroom arrived. And the virgins who were what?
Ready with him.
Ready went in. That's a good question we need to ask ourselves. Are you ready?
And ready went
in. Into the wedding banquet. And it says the door was what?
Shut.
A lot of people think, well, I'll do it later. I'll accept Christ later. I'll do it, you know, after I sow my wild oats or whatever. There's a nice way to put it. I don't know how to, but I'll do it when they're like, the door's going to be shut. And these people are shocked. These people are like, wait a minute. Wait, I thought we were going to go too. I mean, we hung out with the rest of the bridesmaids. We looked just like him. You know, we went to the potlucks. We went to the Bible. We spoke the language. Right? I can talk the talk, right? But it says later, the others also came and they said, sir. Now they're sir, right? It says, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Somebody, I want you to read two scriptures. I need somebody to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Who will read that for me?
I will.
Okay, Adam. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23 verses. Debbie Jo, can I have you read 2 Timothy 2:19? I don't even remember what it says, to be honest with you, but we're just going to trust that I wrote it down for a reason. Holy Spirit led it. So Adam, he said, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. I think I might know it, but I'm afraid to take that step. What does it say? Adam's
key. Not everyone who knows me, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
And what is the will of his Father? To believe. That's what it is. But anyway, keep going.
Many who will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew against and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because of its foundation on the rock.
Yeah, that's good. Now, listen also to 2 Timothy 2:19. What does that say? Is that Joe? Right.
2:19.
Yes, it is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19.
Okay. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, filled with his inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.
Okay. So Jesus knows which ones are his. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord, what? Should?
Turn away.
Would it be a good idea to turn away from wickedness? What does it say?
Must.
Your choice. But he wants you to come in. It says God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever would believe in him. Has everlasting life. He wants you in. He wants you to turn away from the wickedness. But there's times that have come, and you know, maybe I'll do these. I don't know. I want to get through all the whole chapter. There's going to be times that's going to come when the door is going to be shut. You're not going to have a second. You know what I'm saying? Your chance is now. You know, when I look at this text, I see God saying, I want you to... I mean, I still want to do the next one. Anyway.
There's always next week.
I know. Yeah, I hear you. Look
forward to it.
But there, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this whole chapter, and I really believe it's true. The next is the parable of the talent, and it focuses on our duty of serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is this, the importance of good works. Mm-hmm. And it kind of ties all in with the end of Titus chapter 3, so that you'll be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
bearing fruit that will last, is what Jesus said. But I guess I would say, and I don't know, I would say to some of you, you know, do you have oil in your lamps? I'm not saying you don't have the torch or you're not dressed. You know, do you have the oil? Have you received the Holy Spirit? The Lord knows those who are His. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, go to a Bible study, whatever, doesn't make you, that scares me. They talked the talk. They were together. They, hey, I never knew you. That should be one of the scariest. But He's doing it to, it is frightening. But He's doing it because He loves you. He's warning you.
Yes.
You know, like a heavenly dad. I mean, He spoke about it again and again. Well, He's going to say the same thing. He's going to talk about the parable of talents. I mean, He's going to talk about the sheep and the goats. He's saying it over and over to us so there'd be no kind of confusion because He loves you.
Amen.
He wants you to come in.
Amen.
Does anybody have any comments that they want to say on what we covered today? If so, I'd love to hear it. And if not, that's fine too. But is there any comments, anything that the Lord kind of brought to mind that you didn't share or that we didn't cover? When you read this parable, we talked about fighting a quarrel or whatever. Is there anything that you would like to share? I want to give you an opportunity. Sometimes there's a lot. Last week was a ton. Leave it open. You sure? All right.
Aaron.
Yeah.
In John 14, verse 7, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also.
Mm-hmm.
From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. And that word know, so many times what we have up here in our heads is what we think. And that's true. But what He's talking about here, that word know is the same word in Hebrew as yada. To have the most intimate, personal experience that a husband and a wife can have together, He wants that intimate, personal experience with us. To live life with us, to do life with us. And if we don't experience life with Him and have that fruit, we don't have Him.
We're going to see in the next week the parable of the talents. And I just love that there's so much meat in there. There's so much. But I think right now, God would say to some of us, you need to wake up. Too much time right after this and that. Wake up, shake up, smell the coffee, because you don't know when the mother left you. Have an awesome day. In the Lord Jesus Christ.